Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the judges at the family courts in Dolphin House in Dublin's Temple Bar hear a wide range of cases every day. The cases are held in camera, but journalists are allowed access to proceedings but are subject to reporting restrictions. Our reporter Maura Fay regularly goes along to proceedings and gives us an insight into this world. Maura, busy day in court yesterday when you were there.
It was, Colm. At this time of the year, most court services are on a summer break or on a reduced schedule. Urgent family law matters are still heard, but yesterday only Court 41 at Dolphin House was in operation. And as it was just after Bank Holiday weekend, there were a lot of applications for things like breach of access, protection orders and interim barring orders to be heard. Judge Mark O'Connell was presiding and court ran from 10:30am until well past 7pm. So a very long day for the judge, the court staff and those waiting to have their applications heard, and just shows the pressure that exists on the family court system.
Yeah, indeed. And now you mentioned their breach of access applications. What do they relate to?
So breach of access in family law typically is where one parent prevents or interferes with the other parent's court-ordered right to see or spend time with their child. The first case of the day was such a situation involving a man who had last seen his child 12 weeks ago. His ex-partner was not in court and did not provide a written reason to the court for not being present. The man said his child had told him that she had been hit by her mother's new partner. The man said he had reported this allegation to Tusla, and since then the child's mother had blocked him on all social media. His access order as it currently stood allowed him 2 hours visitation on a Saturday. Judge O'Connell asked the man if he had travelled to the child's home so to see if he could get access that way. The man replied that he hadn't, as he didn't think it would be wise in the circumstances for fear of what the child's mother might say. Judge O'Connell told the man that he was entitled to see his child and adjourned the matter until August 14th. He said this time he would attach a penal warning to the summons, warning the child's mother that if she did not attend, a bench warrant for her arrest could be issued.
Right. What happened in the next case?
This was a very interesting case, Colm, and it showed the balancing act the court has to manage in helping families and following the letter of the law. This was a case where a woman who had been successfully granted an interim barring order removing her partner from the family home after he assaulted her. The matter was now back before the court for a full barring order, which could have prevented the man returning to the home for up to 3 years. The man in the case was actually in custody at the minute as a result of the incident and was charged with a Section 3 assault. He was brought into the courtroom in handcuffs, and the judge criticised the Gardaí escorting the man for this, saying it was unacceptable. In Ireland, it's generally accepted that prisoners should not be brought into court in handcuffs so as not to prejudice legal proceedings.
Right.
He was brought back outside the court where his handcuffs were removed before coming back in again.
And what did the court hear in terms of the evidence?
The woman in the case said that they had been together for around a decade. They had a number of children together and she was pregnant with another child. She told the court that on July 22nd, between 8am and 9am, she and her partner had an argument. He pushed her to the ground and assaulted her. She described the incident as a one-off occurrence in the history of their relationship. She said in the last few months he had been distant from her, sitting on his phone a lot. She said they were more like two friends living together.
And what did the man say about the assault?
He admitted to it. He said the night before the assault, he had drank 3 bottles of wine and a bottle of Captain Morgan's rum. He said he was seeking treatment for his alcohol addiction while being in prison. He said his alcohol issues stemmed from having lost a few friends to suicide. He also said what happened was not acceptable. He said his concern about the barring order being extended was that he would be stopped from seeing his children. He added that the assault had not occurred in front of the children. The woman in the case said she did not want him to be stopped from seeing the children and that she would never take his kids away from him. Judge O'Connell said the threshold for a full barring order hadn't been reached, and from the evidence that was described this as a once-off, and he was sorry to be technical about it. As the woman left the court, the man told her he was going to call at 3pm in the hope that he could speak to the children, and he also told her that he loved her.
Now, some of yesterday's cases also underscoring the impact of the housing crisis. Tell us how that came up.
Yes, there were a number of cases where couples whose relationships had ended were being forced to cohabit. One woman came before the court seeking an interim barring order against her husband. She said they had split up in May and that living in the house had become an absolute nightmare. She alleged that her husband was playing music, keeping her and her children up all night, that he was aggressive, roaring and shouting. She said she tried to stay away from him as much as possible to avoid him getting his back up. When asked if the man had addiction issues, she said he had been addicted to painkillers in the past, but she wasn't sure if he had issues at the minute. She was granted an interim barring order, meaning the man would have to stay away from her, the children and the family home for 7 days until the matter was back before the court when evidence from both sides could be heard.
Now, of course, you heard a lot of cases yesterday where parents were seeking safety orders against their adult children.
This is a feature of the family courts time and again, where elderly parents are seeking protection orders or barring orders against an adult child who has addiction issues. One such case involved a grandmother who had been given guardianship of 3 grandchildren. She said her daughter was facing criminal prosecution over cruelty and neglect of the children and only had access to the children for 1 hour of the week with the supervision of a social worker. She said her daughter and her friends were coming to her home, calling her names such as slut and prostitute, calling the children out of the home, bribing them with money and preventing her from taking the children to the park. She also said she believes her daughter is back using cocaine. The woman was granted a safety order against her daughter and the matter would come back before the court in October.
God, they're awful sad cases. There was also a case where a man sought an interim barring order against his son this time. Tell me about that one.
Yes, this retired man said he had been assaulted by his son, who was in his 40s, twice on the bank holiday Monday. He said his son was smoking hash and selling hash from the family home. The man said he had got a doorbell camera, and when he confronted his son about people going to and from the house, this is what precipitated the assault. The judge said he had no difficulty in granting him a barring order. When asked if he knew if his son had somewhere to go, he replied, "I don't really care. That's his problem."
All right. It's terrible when things reach a point like that. Now, there was a case where it was alleged a father had stolen his child's communion money. What happened there?
Yes, this was a case where a woman said her partner of 10 years had left her 5 weeks ago. The woman had a number of children, but her partner was only the father of the youngest child. She said she felt her partner was trying to put her out of her council home, which is in both their names. She also said he had taken her car and her son's communion money, which amounted to about €1,600. She said he had taken her car to prevent her getting to and from her place of work. She also said she was proceeding with pressing charges against him for an assault that he had committed on her in February. She said her partner had previously pressured her to drop those charges. The woman in that instance was granted a protection order.
All right. And finally, Maura, there was a case where a young mother came to court with her toddler. Tell me about that one.
Yes, the woman's child was actually minded outside of the courtroom by her cousin while she gave evidence. The woman told the court that her partner of 5 years had been harassing her on Friday for money to buy drugs. When she explained she didn't have money to give him, he began spitting in her face and threatening her. Over the weekend, she and her child stayed with another family member to get away from him. During that time, he had sent her videos of knives in their kitchen, telling her he was going to stick them in her. The woman said her child was starting to behave differently because of the violence they had witnessed and that the walls of their home were marked from occasions when objects had been thrown at her. She said she herself had grown up with domestic violence, that her mother kept going back to her stepfather even after when he'd been hitting her and her siblings, and she now wished to break that cycle. The woman in that case was granted an interim barring order.
Okay, Maura, thanks very much for bringing us that report from the family courts. No doubt you'll be back again on that if you were affected by anything that was raised in Maura's report. You can go to rte.ie/helplines for the appropriate helpline that's appropriate for you. We cross over to Washington next as Trump talks pharma again.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.